I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott, and thanks to you for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but right now, if you have questions, concerns, or comments about your plant material, your lawn, your ground, whatever it happens to be, your trees, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is Saturday morning, and we've been getting together since 1994. Whoa, is that true? I don't know. Maybe it's not true. It seems like it is. But anyway, so we can talk about your backyard, your front yard, your how about those summer bulbs? How are they looking? As I was walking around the neighborhood, the elephant ears and cannas and things like that that I have in pots have not shown any sign of the cold weather that we have had recently. But I walked past a house and their elephant ears, they were chilled as far as the looks go. So I'm assuming they're going to either mulch them or just sort of like say goodbye. And if you can come back next year, that would be great. But who knows? And also, should you be pruning this time of year? Should you be putting grass seed down this time of year? Should you be improving your soil? Well, using the information I'll give you and hopefully will help you solidify your options. Of course, with that final judgment of the action you're going to take is going to be on your shoulders. And by the way, this is your show, and I appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, or wherever you happen to be listening. Another very important player is James. He's producing, so when you call, he will answer the phone. And when he's not answering the phone, he's also running the big board with all kinds of stuff because I can't touch any buttons. Anyway, I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994, and I can come to your home and do landscape consultations if you'd like for me to do that. And you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and my phone number is there. But also, I have a new email address, a new email. My wife, Tracy, has set this up because my AT&T thing was going nuts. So my new email address is MMillerDesigns22@gmail.com. That's MMillerDesigns22@gmail.com. So if you're interested in contacting me, that's the best way to get in touch with me. So, yes, the Good Gardening Stroll. Let's get moving. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. I'll tell you, you know, I always take my Good Gardening Stroll before the show, but it is so dark. When is that daylight savings time going to come and make it so it's a little bit lighter early in the morning? Well, that's not going to be for another couple of weeks. I think it's first week in November. But anyway, it was dark out, and I thought, well, how am I going to do this? And I looked up at the sky, and there was just a sliver of the moon was out there. So I thought, well, I'll just kind of drive and not walk for my good gardening stroll. So as I was driving down to the station here at Olive and whatever this is, Tucker, and the ornamental grasses are really looking good. The maple trees are nothing short of spectacular. And even though it was still so dark, I was surprised at what was out. Squirrels, they were out. I guess they, you know, they get hungry early, or, you know, they can sense that it's going to be light coming soon. And then consequently, they are out there doing crazy stuff. I have some ornamental corn that I have, ears of the corn, and squirrels are starting to come into my lens, my backyard, and jumping up onto the pot where I have the ornamental corn ears laying, and they're eating that even. So I also put out bird seed, and this time I'm putting out, or the type of seed I'm putting out right now, is finch seed. So it's mainly thistle and a few other things. But they're even eating that, so they must be really desperate, or they just don't have anything else to do besides finding things like that. And probably what's eating the most of the bird seed that I put out, what I do is I don't use bird feeders. I use the sidewalk, a strip of sidewalk where I just kind of throw the bird seed down. And mainly a huge number of sparrows, sometimes 30 or 40 sparrows are there eating the thistle and the other finch food. So even though they're not really finches, they're still having fun with it. And cardinals, those are the only two birds that I'm seeing right now. So the finches, the goldfinches, and the purple finches, earlier in the year I saw them, but I don't see them this time of year. But anyway, who knows why, and it doesn't really matter all that much. So the Good Gardening Stroll, in essence, is just kind of an observation. Some of the things as I wander through the neighborhood every day, and the roses still look very, very good. So people are taking good care of the roses, not just the knockouts, but other ones as well. And probably the most spectacular perennial right now is the asters, and they look very good. There's one house that has a bunch of asters cascading. Almost, you know, they have more or less a raised bed going along the sidewalk. And it's just really, it's just nice to see, let's put it that way. As sort of the gardening season is coming or winding down, I go past people who I know have had tomatoes and had good, fairly good luck with their tomatoes. The tomatoes are kind of heading downhill, and a lot of the other stuff is heading downhill as well. So, this time of year, it's sort of cool and neat to see all the colors, you know, on the trees and shrubs and things like that. I saw a burning bush the other day that was so bright red, it caught me by surprise, because they, most of the time where they've been planted, it's not the ideal circumstance for them to get some good color. And consequently, this one was like catalog almost. It was so bright red. So this is a good time of year for just kind of going to sleep mentally. But there's still plenty of stuff to be doing, or you can do in the outdoors. We've got one call. So if you do have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I've had some trees removed, and they're just cut the stumps off even with the ground. And I'm going to go ahead and drill a bunch of holes in the stumps and put some stump killer in there to kill the stumps plus the roots that are exposed. What would you recommend? Just go to a store and buy some stump killer, or is there something else?
You could certainly do that. There's nothing wrong with that. You didn't have the stumps ground out, but just realize it's going to take several years before the stump and the root system is going to be melted away or killed, let's put it that way. And so consequently, don't plan on putting anything, shrub-wise or anything, probably within 10, I don't know how big these trees were, but within at least 10 or 15 feet of where the trunk is. And then consequently, because there's active root systems, the feeder roots are going to stay active for a couple more years beyond the time when the tree's been cut down.
Yeah. These trees are approximately 20 to 22 inches in diameter.
Ooh, so they're pretty good size.
Yeah, they're big locust trees, and the leaves and stuff, but give me a problem in the gutters, and the roots are exposing so that I can't cut close to the trees. So
right.
I figured on, you know, drilling a bunch of holes and buying stump killer and then waiting a few years and then have the stumps ground out.
Probably by that time, the stumps will be melted, but you could certainly do it that way. It's your choice.
Okay. Hey, thank you, sir, for your information.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KM West Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. back after these messages.
All the news and all that matters to you. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, it is very dry. I don't know if you've been looking at the internet or stuff, but I mean, the Mississippi River, some parts are just really low. We're low here, but further south, it is even worse. Some places where, I forget what it was called, something, I think Rock Tower or something, but this was a spot where it was in the middle, in the middle of the Mississippi River. Now people can walk out to it. They don't have to, worry about water or anything else. So, I mean, it is getting very, very dry. So just consider that, especially for your plant material, whether it's lawn, tree, shrubs, perennials, or anything else, that dry soil, if we get some severe winter temperatures, can be really damaging. And the reason for that is because the dry soil has air pockets in between all the different parts of the soil, and those air pockets, the cold air is going to sink into there, and then that's where the damage to the feeder roots are. Feeder roots are what actually uptakes the nutrients and moisture for the plant material to do well, so just keep that in mind. Let's head over to Martha's. Hi, Martha. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I have a question about my house plant, Dieffenbachia. It's about 6 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
How do I replant it? Can I cut the stalk and replant that, or do I just have to replant the whole plant?
Well,
and there's a new shoot that's coming up on the side of it in this pot. I know the pot is too small, and I have a larger pot, but I'm not exactly sure how to replant it.
Dieffenbachia is, they're really kind of interesting plants and everything else, but you can just, pull it up out of the existing pot and put it in the new pot, mixing, with potting mix, not potting soil. And if you want to do it, pieces of the cane actually can be laid horizontal on the top of your potting, on the top of the potting mix, and they will root that way, but it is going to be a long, involved process. So it's not going to be something that you're going to see, new growth relatively soon, meaning like in a year or two. I mean, you'll see maybe within a year. So I would say just leave it as is and just put it in a bigger pot and just make sure that, you don't damage any, the plant's root system or the new plant, the sucker that's coming off the side of it, because they are colonizers.
Okay. So don't cut it off.
No, don't. Because, I mean, like I said, you can take 6 inches of the stem, the main trunk or whatever you want to call it, and let those dry where you've made the cut, and then you can just lay it on top of the potting mix where it's about half buried. Lay it horizontal. Don't stick it in like a stick.
Okay.
And then let it go from there. But it is going to be, like I said, a very long, involved process before you're going to start to see any kind of new growth at all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I appreciate your advice.
My pleasure. And now let's head over to Bob's. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm thinking ahead a little here. I planted some grass seed this fall, and it's a fill-in stuff, and it didn't do really well, so I know I'm going to need more in the spring. But springtime is when you put weed and feed down, and I think that's a problem. So do I plant the seed, wait to see it, then do weed and feed, or do weed and feed and wait a long time and then plant the seed?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. To be honest with you, generally the weed and feed is an herbicide that kills only broadleaf weeds. It does not kill grass. But unfortunately, newly germinated plants, like the lawn that you're talking about, the lawn seed, can be damaged by any kind of herbicide, even though if it's not specifically for, let's say, a narrow-bladed plant. So I would say what's most important to you is getting your lawn established, and just realize that spring is not the ideal time to be putting seed down because the ground is cold And then the seed, as it germinates, and you know, it'll start going, and everything else, as this, you know, the ground starts warming, then it's faced with our summertime, which is probably the most stressful time, especially if you're putting down a cool season lawn seed, which I'm assuming you are. You're not, because zoysia seed is just kind of a waste of time.
Right. So if I weed and feed, where is February, somewhere, wherever the whatever plant is starting to bloom, you put the weed and feed down.
Right.
And then I waited till it's really warm, till May, and then plant the grass seed. That'd be the most hopeful way of doing it.
Right. And then really the most realistic way to do it beyond the hopeful is then go ahead and plan on doing some more overseeding in mid to late August through September and through, you know, early, let's say, or halfway through October.
Okay. Now the only problem is that I remember this time frame when it comes time to do it.
You'll remember it.
Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. As I was talking about the summer bulbs, the dahlias, the caladiums, the cannas, those kind of characters, guess what? This is the time of year where you can take a chance with my elephant ears. I've got some planted, and I'm going to try, as I've probably mentioned if you've been listening to this show, that I'm going to try some of them in the ground, leaving them with just some mulch, and then see if they can survive. In the cannas, there are several different varieties, not varieties, but several different locations where they really do pretty well staying outside over the winter. The majority of my bulbs, some are in pots, some are in the ground. I dig them up, I take them into the garage, and I let them dry. And as far as whatever they're growing around, or if they're in the ground, I shake the soil off of it and just take them in. Then I let them dry, and then when they get dry, then finally, it probably takes 3 or 4 weeks of just laying, you know, out in the open in the garage. Then I put them in paper bags and then take them down into the basement. But I've had really great success. I have more elephant ears than I know what to do with. And sometimes it's like, hi, would you like some elephant ears? You know, when people... But the other day, a lady was going by, and she didn't know what the elephant ears were. And she said, boy, those are really nice. And I said, yeah, they are. And you talk about low care. That's the nice thing about the summer bulbs is some of them are very, very low care. The caladiums, they're more, you know, shade-oriented. I've had some success with the caladiums, but I've never really been extremely happy with them. But just in general, I think they look good, you know, but I just can't, you know, get them into a situation because of shaded areas. I guess I could grow them in pots. I've tried to grow them in pots when I lived in Soulard, and they did fairly well. But, you know, I haven't grown them since we moved to South City in pots. But the cannas and elephant ears and other, you know, a few other things that I just sprinkle in every year, a little bit different of the summer bulbs, that they look pretty darn good. Let's head over to Carl's yard. Hi, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Love your show. Thank you very much for everything you do.
My pleasure.
I have a quick question. I have a relatively quick question. I am just wondering if it is a good or a bad idea to trim boxwood this time of year, because I have some growth I'd like to kind of get rid of, but some of the articles on the internet say don't do it now because frost can kill it. Not sure what to do.
Basically, I mean, I kind of agree with that. There's two different philosophies saying go ahead and prune if it's early enough. But what happens is when you prune any kind of broadleaf evergreen and you're not worried about cutting off flower buds or anything else with the boxwood, but consequently that the tip that you've cut off has been exposed to all the different kinds of weather and cold and this and that and everything else. And then when that's removed, even though the leaves are further down on the stem, which are now exposed, were at one time on the tips or the end of those particular stems or twigs. Then, you know, if we get a cold snap really quick after you do the pruning, you could have some damage on, you know, the newly exposed foliage. So that's where the disadvantage is. I would say wait until, if you can, just make sure they're well watered. As I said before, it's really kind of a drought circumstance. But as we come out of wintertime, sometime between, let's say, Valentine's Day and Ides of March, do the pruning at that time. Then you're going to get a new surge of growth after that, and it's going to kind of make, kind of get the boxwood, let's say, back in, I don't want to say shape, but a lot of times if you prune them too severely, then you're going to have some twigs exposed. And sometimes if you cut too close, you're going to have twigs exposed that don't have that many leaves on them. And then severe weather can knock the foliage off and make them really look ugly.
Well, that makes great sense, and I thank you very much. I just wanted a local opinion because the weather here is so different from every place else.
You aren't kidding.
Yeah.
Man, when I think about just, you know, a week or so ago, the amount of coat and everything else I was having to wear, and now it's going to be in the almost mid-80s today. That's unbelievable.
Yes, sir. It's very strange.
Yes.
I appreciate your help very much. That was my question.
Sure. Well, thanks, Carl. And if you do have a question, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We got phone lines open, and we'll be back after these messages.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready for Monday Night Football. The Bears, the Patriots. Hear the game on 98.7 FM, 1120 AM, and streaming on KingMOX.com. Bears, Patriots, kickoff at 7.
Football!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Even if you're really satisfied with certain areas in your landscape, you know, be it bed space, be it your lawn or anything else, if you haven't had a soil test done for a couple years, it's advisable to get a soil test just to find out what there is in your soil. So you could watch out, or it's going to give you some cautionary, you know, ideas or thoughts. Let's say don't put this kind of fertilizer down because it's going to cause more problems as time goes on. So food, you know, it's just like food with people or pets or animals or horses or cows or anything else. To, you know, if the food is not right, it's not going to work, you know, and that's how it is with the soils. And consequently, soil is what makes the plant material grow. And when you don't have good soil, or your soil is kind of on the cusp of not going from good to, you know, problematic, just realize a soil test will indicate that, whether it's pH, whether it's nutrient levels or anything else. Let's head over to Mary's yard and see what's going on with Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
My plumeria. It grew so tall, I had to prune some of the branches to get it in the garage. What's the best way to root these cuttings?
Basically, let them dry, the tip, uh-huh. and then get some rooting hormone and dip them into the rooting hormone and then plant them in relatively small pots with potting mix for starting plant material.
Okay. All right. And thank you. And then the next question, the vinca has taken over my flower garden. Is now a good time to kill some of it off, and what should I use?
Now, is this the vinca that's, you were talking about the ground cover?
Yes.
Vinca minor?
Correct.
And it's going to be a little difficult to kill because if you notice, it's evergreen, as you know. The foliage or the surface of each leaf is very glossy. So that's not to say the herbicide won't be absorbed by it, but it's going to be a long, involved process. It would be a lot of work, but if you can dig out a lot of it or dig out some of it or rake it out or something without damaging other plant material that's in there, then watch and then start putting the herbicide down. But just to put the herbicide down, and particularly this time of year, herbicides are becoming less and less effective because of the weather.
Okay. All right. Okay. I guess springtime will be the working time.
Exactly. Especially when it comes to a circumstance like what you have. And, it's unfortunate that, things like vinca minor and the ivies and some of the other ones can be aggressive as time goes on and kind of run over some of the other stuff.
Yes. Yes, it has. Well, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Kurt's. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I want to go back a couple callers that was asking about grass seed this time of year or in the springtime. If we're scheduled to get a core aeration and overseed, say within the next week, and we do have an irrigation system in the yard, what's our likelihood of success?
The seed will germinate. There's no getting around it. And it's particularly if you've got the irrigation system. But what happens is it's going to be immature. The root system is not going to be able to penetrate deeply into the ground. And so just even the first couple frosts that we have is going to have an impact on, the top quarter to a half inch of the soil. And so that's where probably as far as the grass seed root has gone, and that could be detrimental.
So given that, should we just core aerate at this point in time in the year and then wait, or what would you think?
Well, it depends upon it. It may work out perfectly, but it's just the roll of the dice on how it's going to go. So it's going to be, cost-wise and everything else, if you're willing to take the chance, then I would say go for it. But just realize that, the amount of seed put down, if it's going to be able to survive, let's say, through the fall/wintertime, it's going to be, very iffy.
Okay. Then I guess my leaning is we're going to go ahead and try it. Given the ground temperatures are still pretty warm, and
right.
We do got the irrigation. So, okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
We enjoy your show.
And I'm assuming this is a cool season lawn type seed, so either fescue or bluegrass.
Yeah, it is. It's a combination of both, yes.
Oh, wow. You're daring. All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And just this is a good time of year, not only for grass seed, but to head to your favorite garden center. If you're looking for some trees or shrubs, just make sure that, if you're doing the installation yourself or even, if you've got a landscape contractor that's going to do the installing of your trees or shrubs or, things like that, that they dig the hole not too deep, because if they're planted too deep, what happens is it can lead to root suffocation. And that is, basically bad news. So even if it's dry, the roots, if the, you know, if it's planted too deep. So I always advise top 10 to 20% of the root ball above the surrounding ground. That prevents this suffocation if and when, I'm assuming we're going to get some, you know, get some rain. Because if you plant it even at level with the existing soil, the surrounding soil, it's going to sink because there's, when you dig a hole, you're creating air pockets, and then finally those air pockets down in the soil will, you know, the soil will migrate down into those air pockets, and then that's going to cause the root ball to sink. Then you're going to, you know, end up with a depression around the base of the plant, and that's where the real trouble comes in. So just, you know, keep that in mind. And this is a good time of year, too, to, you know, not only from an aesthetic standpoint for you, but to put mulch down around, you know, your trees and shrubs. And it's much better if you're able to, you know, to mulch, like, let's say, a larger area rather than just putting a ring of mulch around a plant. If you have them in relatively close proximity, just to create a bed space in between all those plant material, and then mulch them all together, because that's going to just encourage the root systems to continue to migrate. And that's what the feeder roots are up near the surface of the soil. The roots that go deeper on any kind of plants are just ones that stabilize them. And wind, and speaking of wind, we have had some strong winds this fall. I know we always have had fall winds because as kids, you know, in Ellisville, the backyard, we had a good, nice flat backyard. It was a great one for flying kites. But, you know, I just don't remember, you know, gusts being quite as strong as they have been this year. Now, maybe it's just because I'm getting old and I'm not being able to remember, but those kind of things are really important. And I have seen, you know, some people that were out irrigating their landscapes, but the tendency is once, you know, let's say fall comes, that we kind of turn our backs on that. But this gentleman talking about getting the seed down and having an irrigation system, even if you don't, if you're not putting seed down, putting an irrigation system on or sprinklers or whatever is really advisable. And especially with anything that has been planted within the last 2 years, and that's, you know, just, you know, kind of soak it pretty well. Because, I mean, dehydration of the root system is the worst possible thing besides a suffocation by planting them not correctly. So lots of stuff to go, you know, to work on in the outdoors. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We have phone lines open.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, I have zoysia lawn, and I've, you know, made one cut, and I'm going to make another cut. Even though it is browning and it's not growing actively, I want to cut it a little bit lower. So my final cut is going to get it down to like 3 inches, and that's the blades. And some people think you should cut it shorter than that, but I disagree with that. I want to have some blades just to protect the crowns. If you cut it too close, sometimes even if, you know, with the zoysia, where we're going into wintertime and consequently the activity of some of the problematic weeds and things like that are going to be minimized, it's not going to eliminate, you know, the problematic weeds. Because the weeds, the cool season weeds, there could be some seeds even in there that, you know, with now exposing them a little bit more by cutting really short. I've seen some of the lawns already been cut down to like an inch, and that's really kind of scary. It's ugly looking, and besides that, it's not really good for your lawn. So just keep that in mind. Let's head over to Debbie's yard now. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. We had two dogwoods planted same time, and they both were kind of not doing the best. Anyway, nursed them, and they both started coming around. One was always healthier than the other. That one is fine now, but the other one, it was at my parents' house, and the other one, the guy that comes out and sprays, like, dormant oil and whatnot, he, like, cut off I don't know what he did exactly. I think he cut off part of the tree and whatnot. Well, I felt I really turned the corner with it. It just wasn't as strong as the other. Well, this summer, I'm trying to figure out if it's savable or not. I'd say probably 3/4 of the leaves are brown and have been for some time. There is some green left on maybe 1/3 of the tree, but some of those leaves. So I don't know. I don't know if I should try and move it, if that would be too much, or they're going to be selling their place. So I wanted to try and save it. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out if it's dead. It's not completely dead, or if it's going to make it or not. And it's probably hard for you to tell over the phone, but is there anything that I could do to try and keep it going through the winter, or should I try and dig it up and bring it to my place and replant it to where I can watch it all the time? I don't know.
Yeah, to transplant this time of year, especially on something that's not really healthy, the chances of success are going to be minimal at best. So just keep that in mind. I mean, you can try that, but this, this particular tree doesn't sound like it's its life is not all that good anyway, even if you left it in the same place. And if they're selling their home, if it's in a situation or a view that somebody that potentially would buy the house, I would say you should just take it out and get rid of it. If you want to try to save it and relocate it to your yard, you can do that. You may be successful, but I would, it's going to be scary.
Okay, but I mean, would now be, because they'd probably go on the market, in the height of winter, most likely, or very, very early spring. So ground would probably be frozen, so would now be the best time to try if I wanted to?
Yeah, if you want to, I would say go ahead and try, but just realize that you're really going to tear up a lot of the feeder roots, and that's going to even make it weaker, and then consequently, we are going to have winter, I'm assuming, global warming or anything else. And then consequently, it's just going to be, a lot of work to move it. And then your chances of success, you may be successful, but.
Okay. But most likely not.
Right.
And then do you, thank you very much. And real quick about Johnson grass. What's the best to me? It's kind of like honeysuckle, invasive, hard to get rid of. What's the best solution?
Yeah, to me, going after it with an herbicide. If it's growing, is it growing in with within other grasses, or where is it growing?
It's grown well in our pastures and whatnot, and it's just an endless cycle because, the seed, we don't spread it, but the highway department, whatever, and it's just an endless battle, and it just is taking over everything.
Right.
So I just didn't know if you had much experience with that or not.
No, I mean, you could call the University of Missouri Extension Service, the agricultural department, and that'll be the extension service, and see what they recommend, but it's going to be a difficult circumstance.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your time and your show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And Lori, could you do it kind of quickly? Lori, are you there? Guess not. So we do have, I guess she'll hang on till the next, we come out of the next hour. But just as I said before, the cool season annual weeds, besides the cool season, perennial type weeds, the cool season annual weeds that are really robust right now. The henbit is, unbelievable. The spurge, I'm really surprised to see how much, how good the spurge is looking, because we have had some cool weather, but it is still actively growing. Just realize that. Other things, chickweed. The annual bluegrass, I'm seeing quite a bit of the annual bluegrass, even in my yard as I continue to go after it. The seeds coming in, the birds eat some of the seed. The seed comes in on the bottom of, let's say, my shoes as I walk, through somebody else's yard or through just the parks or things like that. And some of them get stuck in the treads of my shoes, and then I walk back into my yard. So I can re-acclimate or re reseed your yard with some of the problem weeds. So Persian Speedwell, that's one weed that I had a lot of when I first moved to our house in South City, but I've pretty much gotten rid of all that. So it's got a nice small blue flower. It grows very flat, but it's still, you know, trouble because it creeps around and, you know, really, disables other things from being, you know, able to get established as far as what I want to have grow as far as my zoysia. And just realize nutgrass is out there, and there's some other things that are just real trouble. So you just keep an eye out, and if you get on top of stuff, as soon as you see it, it's going to be much better. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott, and I greatly appreciate your weather and, of course, the news. And welcome. It's the Tip of the Trowel Hour, and I'll be giving the Tip of the Trowel shortly, but right now you can give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. With your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments about your landscape. And, oh, by the way, thanks for having me on your show. We can discuss plants. We can discuss the ups and downs and all arounds of annuals. The annuals are still looking pretty good. Your bulbs, your summer bulbs, and it is about time when you should start. If you have some new spring bulbs for next year, your crocus, your daffodils, your tulips, to do installation of those. Your ground covers, like the lady called about her vinca minor that was just getting a little bit too aggressive as a ground cover, and she wanted to get it away from wherever in her landscape. Your house plants, I finally got mine inside, so they're underneath the grow lights in the basement. Your lawn, whether it's a cool season lawn or a warm season lawn, your perennials, should you be cutting them back yet? Your roses, should you be cutting those roses back? Your shrubs, your trees, your vines, or your water gardens? I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take, but are strictly offered for you to consider. Across the big board is James. He's producing. He answers the phone and then pushes all the buttons and makes it so when I say something, you can actually hear it. During the week, I do landscape consultations, so if you'd like for me to come to your home, you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and there's my phone number there. I haven't gotten around to changing that, but I do have a new email address. My wife, Tracy, called and said, make sure that you tell people that it's going to be lowercase. So MMillerDesigns22@gmail.com. That is my new email address, mmillerdesigns22@gmail.com. So if you'd like to ask me a question or schedule an appointment for me to come to your home, that is the best way, or the phone. I mean, I can still answer the phone pretty well. So anyway, crazy stuff going on. And the tip of the trowel goes out to be honest with you, I am just amazed at some of the Halloween decorations that people are putting out. I think it's more than normal, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just I can't remember one year to the next how much is out there. But also, what I'm really enjoying too is all the different kinds of gourds and, you know, pumpkins and things. People just buying them and setting them on their front porch. And a lot of the pumpkins aren't being carved; they're just being left. And I think it's really nice. So any of the decorations that people are putting outside that when somebody's walking by or driving by can enjoy, that's who gets the tip of the trowel. It's it's not really all that easy to do, but consequently, more and more people are getting into it. So a lot, what that means, too, is just your welcome home. I know the stuff that I have out in our yard or at the front door or whatever it happens to be is part of the welcome home. And the tip of the trowel is this recognition, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. So let's take a couple calls before we go to a break. Let's go to Barbara's. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, I'm calling from St. Charles, Missouri, and I'm wondering if it's too early to put out bags of mulch to refresh the landscape. Is the ground too warm yet?
It's probably okay. Generally, with your perennials, you want to wait until it gets a little bit cooler, but around trees and shrubs and things like that, you should be fine.
Okay, well, when would you normally – I put out 8 bags of mulch, so my whole landscape is mulch and rock, and so – when would I normally put it out? Like the first week in November or something?
Yeah, just after, you know, after a good frost. I don't know if you've had any frost in St. Charles yet or not.
Yeah, just a little bit, but probably not a good enough one.
Right. So once we have a good frost, then you should be able to, you know, put your mulch out. And like I said, around the woody plant material, you can do it, you know, earlier than with the perennials. What the reason why you want to wait on the perennials is because if it is warm, the ground is warm, and the mulch is, you know, has some warmth to it as well, then that might prevent the perennials from going dormant as, you know, as fast as they need to in relationship to what the weather is going to be.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. My pleasure. And now let's see. Where should we head? Let's go to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike. My girlfriend asked me about some plants that she was pulling out of the ground, her cannas and her elephant ears. And she took one elephant ear out of the ground that instead of it being a bulb, it elongated, and it's 22 inches long.
Whoa.
I can't believe this. And it has roots starting about 10 inches from the bottom. And she asked me, could she cut that in half and have like 2 bulbs? And I told her, she thinks because I'm old, I know everything. I told her, I think it'll probably rot. What do you think?
Well, it couldn't rot, I mean, necessarily. But I don't, you know, I mean, it is a, you know, potentially a possibility. But I would say 22 inches long, I've been growing elephant ears for decades. And I've never seen one elongate to that point.
I have never seen one elongate, period. And when she took a picture of it and sent it to me on the phone. I can send it to your email address if you'd like. I could not believe it. I thought, what would cause it to even do that?
Well, it's got to be, you know, a really good soil for growing elephant ears. I mean, I'm assuming it was in the ground, so it has to be really well drained and, you know, nice and porous. So, they do grow. They do elongate, but not to that extent in 1 year.
Said the same thing. I'd never seen anything like it. Do you think, though, if she cuts it and then lets it heal over, that she could have 2 viable bulbs?
Yes, she could.
Terrific. That's what I told her to do, but I thought, I'm going to call Mike Miller and see what he says.
Yeah, I mean, as long as she's willing to let that heal over, and this is with anybody that's digging them up to, you know, to, let's say, protect them from the winter weather by bringing them inside. You have to let them heal in the outside, even if you don't cut them or anything else. They need to dry, and that's really essential to do. If you just pull them out of pots or pull them out of the ground and put them in bags and bring them in, that's not necessarily the best thing you can do for your bulbs.
Well, I thank you for your advice. Thank you for our show.
Sure. Thanks for having me on your show. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Work or play?
KMOX is right there with you. We go where you go.
Speaking of going, let's go over to Art's Yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate you letting me get this off of my mind here. Maybe it's my 1930s heritage, but my arthritis in my shoulder is telling us we're going to be singing in the rain Tuesday. But back in the 1930s, when the foreign pound was getting low, my uncles put a shovel in our hand and said, get down to Callaway Creek there and dig some water holes. We got to make sure the stock has got water. And then he says, you got to keep nature in mind. You always got to be prepared. Well, maybe I got a water phobia, and then maybe I should have taken a degree in watershed and range management the way things are going. They anticipated back some years ago, they want to take the Missouri River and channel it down into the doggone Southwest, I guess because of the urban population explosion. But the thing of it is that I'm always wondering with respect to what your thoughts are when you're digging and planning things. What parameters would you use to say to yourself, well, I'm not going to put you in that hole. That is not the type of a environment that I want to see you in. And does the divining rods, do those things have any kind of a real worth to themselves? People say, you know, willow branches and birches and so forth, that they will give you the indications. But when we're using 90 to 120 gallons a person per day in the country, I think there's got to be some better recognition that comes at an expense and you just can't leave the faucets running all the time. What are your thoughts with respect to the parameters on the soil type and conditions when you're putting a plant into the soil?
Thank you, Art, very much. Basically, the best thing that I can recommend in relationship to that is when you're planting plants, make sure that you're locating plants that are in relatively close proximity that need the same moisture level. And if you like plants, let's say that like a willow or a bald cypress or a black gum or whatever it happens to be, a tree, you know, or, you know, shrubs that like, you know, a moist situation like red twig dogwoods, that you go ahead and plant in a low spot in your ground or in your landscape, as opposed to, you know, just planting them and then having to give them extra moisture. And if it's not you know, a situation where the water can run off, then it could be problematic. But thanks, Art, very much. And now let's head over to Donald. Hi, Donald.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have several questions, but I try to make them real quick. In 2021, I planted a hydrangea bush. And after last winter, I thought it was dead because there were just little stalks, so about 6, 8, 10 inches long. But it came back and bloomed beautifully this year. I've cut the flowers off, but how far down should I trim those stalks?
You don't have to prune them. If you want to prune them, you can. What variety? Do you know, is it a summer bloomer or is it a spring bloomer or what?
Well, I'm not real sure about the answer for that, but I was real happy with the way it came back, so I'll just kind of play it by ear. I'm just kind of new at all this planting business. Now, I also had a friend give me some cannas this summer, which I've planted. They didn't really sprout a whole lot, but now they look pretty sour out there. Should I have brought those in?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you don't have to, you know, make them into a houseplant or something. It's just they probably didn't get to, you know, maybe the spot you put them wasn't the ideal situation. But the cannas, just in general, I don't know how big the tuber or the root that he gave you was. But consequently, they should be bigger than when you put them in the ground. And you can go ahead and dig them up. Just leave them sit in your garage, you know, on someplace where they can, the soil that's around the, you know, the tuber root of the canna can dry off, and then in another couple weeks, then just put them in a paper bag and bring them inside.
Okay, well, I thank you for that suggestion. I wasn't sure how to treat or care for cannas, so I'm real new at that also. I also had some bushes removed from my property that was done without being authorized, and I want to know about planting some burning bushes. Is this still a good time of year to put in bushes?
You should be fine. It's just, the garden center just makes sure that they're nice and healthy. And the top of the root ball is above the surrounding ground. They like to be in full sun to get the best color. So if it's in a part shade situation, you're really not going to get the color that you would anticipate from the burning bush.
Well, they would be in the shade during the morning, but after about 12, 1 o'clock, the sun goes over the home, and they would be in the sun the rest of the day.
Well, that should really be adequate as far as letting the leaves turn, bright red in the fall. But they really would like to be in sun all day long every day. But, everybody doesn't have a situation like that.
Okay, well, thank you for that. One more thing then. I also planted some rose bushes this year, and I don't know exactly what kind of rose bushes they are. They did have some blooms, but then the deer also enjoyed the flowers and the blooms on them. So what should I do with those rose bushes at this time of year? Should I trim them back?
You can prune them back. It depends upon the variety. And also wait for another couple of weeks and then put about 6 or 8 inches of mulch, at the base of them.
Okay, well, that looks a good idea, too. All right, Mike, that's all I have for today. Thank you for your show.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Rick's yard. Hi, Rick.
Yes, hi. Nice to talk to you, Mike.
Thanks.
I planted 16 hardy mums about 3 weeks ago, and my girlfriend works part-time at a nursery, and she told me that I should really soak those mums every few days because then the roots will take hold, and then when it gets to be really cold, then they won't freeze and hurt the mums. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that could help, but, to plant them, I'm assuming they were in full flower or whatever, or at least fully budded.
Yes.
It's going to be tough for them to be able to make it through the wintertime, regardless, even if you do the additional watering and everything else. It's activity as far as the root systems go to get established enough to be able to withstand our crazy winter weather potential. They may work out fine, but you're just enjoy them for what they are right now. And if they come back next year, that's great. But and then next year, if you want them to look like they do now, it's going to be a series of 3 or 4 different times when you're going to have to pinch them back, with the first pinch back being sometime in mid-May.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we'll just take a chance that things will work out.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, appreciate your advice.
Sure, my pleasure. Making sure the ground is moist is great, but that's not necessarily going to be a guarantee that the root systems are going to be able to acclimate, and hopefully they're in really good garden soil where you have them planted in the sunny area, and just good luck with that.
It's pretty hard clay, but I've dug a pretty big hole to put them in, so we'll see.
Yeah, so the hole hopefully was wider than 3 times the diameter of the root ball, but as I continue to talk, make sure that they were planted a little bit higher than the surrounding ground so they don't end in a depression, because too much moisture, which you are going to give them moisture due to the additional watering, could be problematic.
I understand. Okay. Okay. Very good.
All right. Good luck. And now let's head over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike. I have a ginkgo tree that's been in the ground for about 3 years. It's maybe about 7 foot tall, and about an inch in diameter. And it seems like those trees kind of tend to, when they're young, grow kind of weird. And there wasn't like a definite leader. So I picked one and, you know, I've got it kind of propped with a, like a wooden stick to, you know, keep it going straight. How long do I need to keep that like that? It's been most of the summer already. Do you think that's long enough, or is that something you need to do for like a year or two?
Well, it's, you've had it in the ground for 3 years, and you just, you don't like the direction it's growing? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. It never really had a leader. It was almost like a bush at the top, the, you know, and kind of growing out instead of up. And so I picked one of the branches and cut some of the other ones off to make it like start to grow upward. It was almost like it was bending itself over.
Wow.
Because
I mean,
yeah,
a lot of times they can, you know, trees, not just ginkgo trees, but can, you know, have multiple, multiple trunks after, you know, growing off the main trunk. So maybe that was just going to be, you know, its width as a mature tree. Because as you see, you know, some trees are, a single, you know, trunk going up with the branches going out perpendicular to the trunk. But other ones can have multiple, you know, let's say multiple trunks. And it could be, a couple feet off the ground. So it's just, I would say, I would just leave things alone and just hope for the best.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed. Thank you.
All right. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
If you have moles in your landscape, or you're all of a sudden seeing tunnels and you didn't think you have moles, well, it's probably moles. And mole activity is going to be extreme this time of year. Why? Because their main diet is earthworms. And the earthworms are going to be, what happens is moles under the soil can hear earthworms crawling. That's where their tunnels go, to where the earthworms are. Yes, they will eat grubs, but the grubs are just an appetizer on their way to the real meal, which is an earthworm. But as the weather cools, the ground cools, then the earthworm activity is going to be less. So then the moles are going to be basically hibernating. So they got to fatten themselves up so they can hibernate. So just realize that all of a sudden you step out in your backyard and you go, oh my gosh, where did all these tunnels come from? Well, you, first of all, you have a nice yard, or else the earthworms wouldn't be there. Second of all, the earthworms bring in the moles. So that's sort of the combination of reality. Let's head now over to Don's yard. Hi, Don.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know, clipping junipers, do you do any harm to them? My junipers, I wish I had gotten the junipers that was called a blue rug. It don't grow as tall as the regular junipers that kind of spread out.
Right.
Would I be hurting them if I clip them down a little bit, because they done grown kind of tall?
Yeah, basically, I would not do it going into wintertime. I would wait until we're coming out of wintertime and do the pruning in the, let's say, as winter's ending and spring is starting. Because you may have some damage as a result of, without knowing what our weather's going to be like and how cold it's going to get, there could be damage from that standpoint. But yeah, you're right. Blue rugs grow flat on the ground. So I don't know which variety that you have, but some of them can get really pretty big. And I don't know how many you have or anything else, but you may get, you know, consider, and this may be a little bit drastic to say, but removing the ones you have because they're problematic and they're not exactly what you want, and get the ones that you want rather than sort of exposing yourself to potentially having to fool with them as far as pruning to control the size for, you know, as long as you live in this particular home.
I see. Now, my last question is, on the plant that's called a
next week, so you can just give us a call.
Yeah, I will. I'll write it down. I just lost my thought just that quick.
Okay.
All right, then, Mike. I want to thank you for taking my call on that, and I'll keep that in mind.
Sure.
I'll wait until spring comes.
Yeah, wait until we're coming out of wintertime before you do any pruning. All right, thanks. And now let's head over to Max's yard. Hi, Max.
Hi. Thanks, Mike. I have a yard over on the east side, mostly clay, and the grass has been fescue and bluegrass, and I've had I called it a weed, but I've kind of identified it. It looks something like a St. Augustine, and it is just spreading away from the driveway, and what was a patch maybe 3 feet by 3 feet is now spread throughout the yard, and I'd like to get that stopped. What do you recommend?
There's nothing that's going to be selective enough to get rid of that without damaging your lawn. That's the unfortunate thing. So
yeah, it's long strings there, and it looks very good for about 3 months during the summer, but it's slow to turn green, and it went yellow and died off like 6 weeks ago. So just kill it all off and start again?
Pretty much, because there's nothing else that you can really do. I mean, you could just do a section at a time, and that way you'll have, you know, you're going to have to live with what you have, you know, in the areas that you haven't killed off and reestablished. But it's, you know, it's going to be a long, you know, involved process. Also, since you said you had heavy clay soils, you may think about having some core aeration done and some compost spread, like a quarter to a half inch, to improve your soil. And that will, you know, help keep the lawn that you want healthier. And it's not going to necessarily stop, you know, weed invasions, but it's going to help slow the process down.
All right, I understand. So try killing it off very early in the spring before it really starts to get green, or wait till it gets green and then work at that?
Well, if you try to kill it off while it's dormant, it's not going to work. So you're going to have to wait until it's actively growing. So, and once you start seeing some green, then you should be okay as far as killing it off.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go over to Doug's yard. Hi, Doug.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We have an orchid that got knocked off of a table, and it broke the leaves in a clump. They're all together. And I was wondering, what are the chances of the part that's still in the pot reestablishing itself? And then I put the other part in water, and I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I'm looking for some suggestions.
The part that's in water is probably not going to do anything. Now, the stuff that's still in the pot, is there actually any foliage there, or is it just roots, or what is it?
There's one little green spot on there.
Hmm. This this doesn't sound good. I would say the one that you put into water is not going to do anything. They can't really, you don't root orchids in water. You know, there are some that can handle a little bit more moisture, but for the most part, orchids don't grow in really wetness. They grow like adhered to trees in the tropics naturally, or they grow when you buy them in the pot, there's going to be bark in there. There are some orchids that do grow in potting mixes, but for the most part, the majority of them grow in bark. And so that means not a whole lot of moisture. And that's where the, you know, water circumstance. And if there's nothing green, is there any roots coming out of it at all, the one that was in the pot?
Any yes, there are.
Okay, so you could try and, you know, put that just in a sunny location and see what's going to happen. But, you know, neither one of them sound really good.
Okay, well, I was afraid of that. And whenever something else gets, you know, pulled loose or something on other plants, that's what we always did to let it try and establish roots. And with my inexperience, that's what I did. So.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with experimenting. I mean, you don't necessarily have to just throw the stuff away, but just realize that it's not, you know, an ideal circumstance.
Right. Okay. That's all I had.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks. And let's go from Doug's yard over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Good. It's good to be on your show. Maybe you... This may not, by the way, that gentleman that just called a couple times ago, it has the grass he's trying to get rid of.
Right.
My recommendation that you didn't ask for is there's a product called Tenacity, and the generic version of it is somewhat cheaper. But most of those grasses like that, it will take care of them when, as you say, they're growing.
Right.
And I've used it on some of them, but it does work. But you have to be very careful with not putting too much down. The main reason I called was I raise tomatoes every year, and this year things just didn't go very well, except for my early girls. And I purchased tomato plants from places like Farm at Home and Walmart and all. And there's like four plants for $1.69. Would it be better if I tried to purchase those plants from a nursery or something? In other words, is the quality of the plants I'm paying $1.69 for four, are the quality of those plants equal to what I might buy someplace else paying maybe $2.98 and $3.98 a piece for? You know, as far as, because I spend a lot of time with those silly things and you know, I put in a raised garden and you've gone to all the trouble to get St. Louis composting soil in it. And am I starting out already at a bad spot, or should I go out and try to find, would those plants at those other places be a better quality and have possible chance of better success?
Have you grown them, you know, the $1.69 ones? Have you done that historically, or is this the first year you've tried it?
That's the way I've always done it.
Okay, and you've had success in the past.
Pretty much, yes, but I had the first batch I got. I think they may have been hit by frost, you know, because they had them out there too soon.
Oh,
but the second ones I got, they look good, and when I look at them, Mike, you know, the ones I buy will be maybe a couple inches tall, and the others are expensive. They're like, you know, I don't know, they're like foot tall. Well,
right.
Within about a couple of weeks, mine are as tall as theirs.
Right.
But just talking about the quality of the plant, and I usually do like Big Boys, Better Boys, Early Girls, Celebrity. Are there some brands out, or some ones out there that would be produce better better tomatoes? No, I like tomatoes that there's very few seeds in, but. I'm just wondering if I could, you know, get a better selection, a different selection, and, you know, kind of get a little head start on it, or, you know, better success.
Right. Basically, when you're going to a year-round nursery to buy any kind of plant material, they're caring for the plants a lot more after they've been delivered. Whereas some of the big box stores, they're delivered and then they don't do too much to them. And that's where the, you know, potentially the problem is. So I would say get some that you normally do for the $1.69. Get the same variety at a nursery that you're going to pay more for. Plant them to, you know, basically in the same garden space and see what you think.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, normally I would say go with the year-round nursery because they take care of their plants more so than worried about looking at your receipt as you go out the gate.
Okay. As far as variety goes, the ones I've been using all these years, they're just there's not any special varieties out there I should look for.
Not necessarily. It's, you know, you're using ones that have a lot of history to them as far as success and taste, and so you've liked them in the past. So there's no reason to try a new one unless you just want to experiment with one just to kind of see if it's going to be a little bit more whatever, robust, more juicy, more this, more that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We got a few phone lines open.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's head over to Carol's yard. Hi, Carol.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I've got two questions, and I came into your show late today, so I don't know if it's been answered. With the freeze we had a couple of nights ago, I had read in the KMOV app that all growing has stopped. Well, I've got new overseeded, lawn-aerated, overseeded grass that was growing very slow due to that dry spell. And it's about an inch tall. Should I go back during this warm spell and water?
Oh, definitely.
You should
water, definitely. That's not just, and just with keep your fingers crossed that it's going to be successful as far as getting their root system deep enough to survive the weather.
Right. That's right. Because my sprinkler system gets shut down on Halloween, and I wanted to keep it going up until then as long as it's not freezing. But that website, that KMOV note, that kind of threw me. So I appreciate that. And I have one more quick question. I have a pin oak stump that is going to be ground out anytime soon. Can I use that stump mulch to add around the base of trees?
No, because it's too raw and it's going to absorb, it's going to bind up nutrients, it's going to bind up problems. So it's not a good mulch.
Okay. Those are great answers. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. And Dina, can you do it quick?
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
We regraded our front lawn a few weeks ago and planted seed and fertilizer. It's about a half acre area of the lawn. Did all of the grass seed that we spread die off in the freeze? That's number one. And then number two, is it too late in the season to completely reseed the whole area?
Yeah, it's too late to reseed because of what happened to you with this past. But if you haven't, if the seed hasn't germinated that you put down, then it's probably not going to germinate from this point forward.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The harsh realities. So thanks, Dina. And Linda, can you do it quick?
Oh, yes, Mike. I had called you about lantana that I was growing in pots all summer on the porch, and they're looking great. And then you said don't water till they look kind of wilty, but they're downstairs under the grow light, but 12 hours on, 12 hours off. But they seem to be wilting like pretty often. So what should I do? Just like let them go a little bit or give them just a dab of water when they look wilty?
Basically, you don't have to wait till they wilt, but just watch the inside of the pot. And when that potting mix shrinks away from the inside of the pot, then go ahead and water them, but don't water them again until it starts shrinking away.
I haven't seen it shrinking very much. They just look kind of wilty, but is that kind of normal because they're out of the bright light and too
right. Yeah, even if you have really good grow lights, it's going to be problematic for them.
Yeah, and it's close to them, too. So, okay, I'll just hope they last. They didn't cost me anything. They were donated for a public garden in a park.
Oh, so. That's right. I remember.
Yeah. By all Crab Apple Cove Nursery, a great one on Telegraph. I got to get a plug in for them.
Well, thanks, Linda, and thanks to everybody for calling in. I greatly appreciate it, because if you were not there, I would not be here. This is your show, and thanks for having me on your show. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.